Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me in beautiful Colorado is Jennifer Dennison, our co-host. How are you, Jennifer?
Yeah, good. It's colorful Colorado.
Colorful Colorado. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you. This is Thanksgiving Day, and we're really excited to be bringing the show to folks on this holiday and the holiday weekend. But
do you have your turkey thawing?
My turkey is thawing, and we're just about ready to eat. So that's going to be a cool thing. My family comes in from all across the country, and we get together, and I've got a couple of brothers and their children and their grandchildren all come in, and so we just have a big time. How about you?
Well, our tradition is more to get all of our Christmas decorations out and decorate the house. And when I say Christmas decorations, that involves two truckloads full of bins. So it's about a week long process, but we start that on Thanksgiving and have everything up. And then my mom and I are going to a hot spring for the weekend. So.
Oh, wow.
That's a new tradition.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a lot of fun. But we're going to have a lot of fun today. Our first guest is a young man named Brett Kissel. And Brett is two-time Canadian Country Music Association Male Artist of the Year. And he's also toured with Brad Paisley and Garth Brooks. So we're going to be talking with him in just a moment. But we do like to thank our sponsor, and that is Legacy Benefit Group. For over 30 years, Legacy Benefit Group has helped individuals and businesses protect and preserve their financial legacy. Now we're going to take a listen to one of Brett Kissel's songs from his upcoming released CD, We Were That Song, and that's Show the World's End. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Brett Kissel on the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
They talk about fires burning, tornadoes turning, lightning striking branches to the ground. They talk about earthquakes shaking, windows breaking, but nobody ever talks about two red taillights, tears in her eyes, goodbye, rolling off with a quivering lip, knowing you ain't never gonna see her again, tossing, turning, hurting all night, waking up, reaching over to touch her skin in a bed that she ain't in. That's how the world ends. That's how the world ends. So if you wonder why I'm smoking, drinking, it's 'cause I'm thinking all about how nobody warned me that I'd be hitting my knees, flipping up, begging please for God to tell his angel come on back to me and save me from that Armageddon moment. Those two red taillights, tears in her eyes, goodbye, rolling off with a quivering lip, knowing you ain't never gonna see her again, tossing, turning, hurting all night, waking up, reaching over to touch her skin in a bed that she ain't in. Yeah, that's how the world ends. Two red taillights, tears in her eyes, goodbye, rolling off of a quivering lip, knowing you ain't never gonna see her again. She don't even know that I've gone crazy, tossing, turning, hurting all night, waking up, reaching over to touch her skin in a bed that she ain't in. I'm reaching over to touch her skin and bet that she ain't in. That's how the world ends. That's how the world ends. No, it ain't the fires burning, tornadoes turning. It's knowing she ain't never come back.
That's how the world ends. It's Brett Kissel, and it is from his soon-to-be-released We Were That Song. And Brett, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you for letting me be on the airwaves with you. I appreciate it.
Well, we are delighted to have you with us today. And Jennifer Dennison is with us. Jennifer, you want to say hi?
Hi, Brett. How are you today?
I'm terrific. It's just great to be chatting with you. I was spending some time on your website, hanging out and looking up everything about Western Horsemen. So it's great that I get to be on the air with both of you.
Well, I've been looking up a lot on Brett Kissel this morning as well. So there's quite a few YouTube videos, and, you know, looks like for 27 years you've had a good life.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but don't believe everything you read. There's a lot of BS out there.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's kind of update our audience on Brett Kissel. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got started in music?
Well, I'm a very proud ranch kid from Alberta, Canada. I know you have a lot of listeners north of the border, and I grew up in a community called St. Paul, Alberta, in the northeast. My parents are cattle ranchers. My grandparents are, and their grandparents. We've been on the same farm for five generations. My daughters now make the sixth generation, you know, in the family. And it's just a beautiful way of life. I didn't realize how special it was growing up on the farm until I moved away. I now live in Nashville, obviously where you're broadcasting from. And it was just a natural progression for me. Country music came natural. Growing up on the farm, I've always loved to play. I've always loved to sing. And for anybody, especially in the province of Alberta, I don't think there was a rodeo I didn't play when I was growing up.
I was gonna ask if you did all the rodeos circuit while you were growing up. So that's a pretty cool deal. There's some real cowboys in Canada.
There certainly are. And, you know, we could rattle off some of the greats that have made it in the Hall of Fame in Canada, as well as some of the greats who had international success at the NFR and some of the big rodeos in America, you know, from Wyoming to Houston and obviously all around in the South. This has been one of the most amazing journeys for me, is getting a chance to play music, make a living playing music, and doing my very best to keep it country, you know, all the while.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You got your first guitar, I think I was reading, at 6 years of age. And
yeah, I was about to turn seven. It was Christmas time.
Yeah. Was that what you wanted for Christmas, or is that a surprise?
It was a surprise, and I was actually disappointed because I wanted Lego so bad. I told my Mima, my grandpa, my mom, my dad, I told Santa Claus how much I wanted Lego. I run down the stairs to the Christmas tree, and I look, and there's this weird-shaped gift. And I opened it up, and it was a guitar, and I just remember being disappointed. However, I couldn't make a living playing Lego, and I'm so proud that things turned around, and I fell in love with the guitar.
I think your family was looking out for your future there with that guitar.
They were, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, gosh. Well, when did you start playing? Because your career, I mean, you're a young man now. You're what, 27 years old? But you really started very, very early performing. Do you remember your first performance?
I do. It was at the Bonneville Pro Rodeo. I think it was 9 or 10 years old. And all I knew was Johnny Cash songs and Marty Robbins songs. And I wanted to play El Paso and Tennessee Flat Top Box. And I played with this little pickup band. And a pal of mine named Russ Cowton played the bass. And here we were. We're playing in front of, I don't know, maybe 200 people. And that was maybe the start of the addiction for playing on stage and performing live. And I've been doing it ever since.
Wow. Wow. Now, when did you make your first recording?
Shortly after. there were grandmas and grandpas from far and wide that wanted to hear this little kid from the farm singing classic country music. So I was singing all the old classic songs and Western songs, Western ballads by, you know, Roy Rogers and Wilf Carter up in Canada. And I made my first recording when I was 11 years old. And that
oh,
was
wow.
a really special project, and was selling them out the tailgate of my dad's truck and stuff like that. And we were, I mean, we were making extra copies. We couldn't sell them fast enough.
Oh, gosh.
Does anybody in your family have a musical background?
No, not really. I mean, my grandmother, she played piano in church. But other than that, I mean, that was just, you know, on Sundays. No one else, not a grandparent, not my brother, not anybody ever played or sang. So the reason why I decided to pursue this or I got into it has been a mystery to everybody for generations now.
But it sounds like they're supportive of you.
Oh, extremely. I mean, and my mother was a big support, but at the same time, when I was, you know, nearing the end of high school, and I said, I want to move to Nashville, and she said, I don't think so. You need to go to university. And I said, I don't think so. I need to go to Nashville. And she says, I don't think so. So it was, we were locking horns there for the last year of high school.
Oh, gosh. Well, you ended up going to university then.
Well, I did. The School of Hard Knocks, learning how to do it on my own here in Music City. But we both look back on it now, and I think it was the right choice. We've been pretty successful, and I think we've had a lot of fun. You know, sometimes you just gotta chase a dream. You know, no matter what it is, if it's the oil business, the cattle business, the horse business, or the country music business, if you're passionate about it, you gotta follow that passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really are. Well, we want to get to this is from the CD Something in the Air, I believe is the name of the CD, and the song is called Airwaves. This was a big hit for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was really lucky. The record actually it was called Pick Me Up, but we had a tour, you know, with the name that you had just mentioned. But Airwaves was my first number one record, and that was a very special moment, you know, for me and for my family. So I'm really proud that you selected that track. As a bit of an introduction to me and to my music to everybody listening around the world.
All right, so let's take a listen to Airwave, and then we'll come back and talk more with Brett Kissel on the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
It's Friday night, moon's light, just hanging there. Ain't too much going on anywhere. I picked her up, turned the radio up, and kicked us down the driveway. We didn't make it more than a getaway mile. She put a pretty painted finger on the dial and got every speaker in the backseat buzzing. You could just tell that she loved it. There must be something in the airwaves, 'cause every song the DJ plays, she leans a little bit closer in. Let's go, what she's holding it. She's dancing around like a lit flame, hand out the window like an airplane. Maybe it's the way she's singing, swaying. It's got me thinking there must be something in the kick drum drumming. Must be something in the guitar strumming. She ain't never looked at me that way. Must be something in the airwaves. Must be something in the airwaves. Got a little let loose in her eyes. She's turned up and turned on hypnotized. I gotta get every bit of whatever it is she's feeling, 'cause this feeling, like I don't wanna hear that signal fade, and I don't wanna try to find another station. We got a little spot between the static, working some kind of magic. There must be something in the airwaves, 'cause every song the DJ plays, she leans a little bit closer in. Let's go, what she's holding it. She's dancing around like a lit flame, hand out the window like an airplane. Maybe it's the way she's singing, the swaying. It's got me thinking there must be something in the kick drum drumming. Must be something in the guitar strumming. She ain't never looked at me that way. There must be something in the airwaves.
It's Airwaves, and it is from the CD Pick Me Up, and I'll correct myself on that. But great, great song. Great, great song.
I was dancing a little bit here in my office.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. You know what? My music is best cranked up loud, just so you know.
Yeah. Well, I just hope nobody's watching.
We need to do a Facebook Live with you, Jennifer. I think that's the thing we need to do. But anyway, well, you started out at a really, really young age performing, and you have had the opportunity to perform with some pretty big names over the years. And Brad Paisley's one.
Absolutely. It's it was just an amazing experience getting a chance to tour with Brad. He went right across Canada, coast to coast, and brought me with him. And I learned so much from Brad about how to be an entertainer and the business side of things. And this guy is more than meets the eye. He's not just an amazing guitar player, an amazing songwriter, amazing performer. This guy is an outstanding businessman and human being, just treats his people so well. And I just love Brad. Honestly, I just love the guy.
And how does a big Nashville name like that, how do they find an act like you to tour with them?
You know what? Sometimes it's a real mystery, Jennifer. I think that really came together through the promoter, the company Live Nation. They were bringing Brad up to do this massive tour in Canada. Whether it was Brad's manager, or Live Nation, they had said, you know what, we're thinking about pairing you up with a Canadian. And Brad's going to make the final decision, but I think I was probably pitched in an audition type of setting. Send my music, send this guy's music and other performers' music to Brad, and I'm really honored that Brad selected me. The minute I got the call that I was going to go out on the road with Brad Paisley, I put out on Twitter and Instagram a photo of Brad and I when I was 13 years old. And Brad signed an autograph for me, which of course he'd never remember, but it wrote, "Dear Brett, I'll save you a spot on my tour." And that was when I was 13 years old. So I put that on Twitter, and he wrote back immediately, said, "See, I'm keeping my promise."
Wow.
Now, I've heard that Brad is quite the prankster. Did he pull any pranks on you on that tour?
Every day he did. There was something different. My favorite was at the very end of the tour, after being pranked by him, some things I can say on the radio, some things I can't. One of the things is he had rigged the juicing machine. Everybody's trying to be healthy backstage on the road, and he and his dad had rigged the juicing machine so that I was in my performance clothes. I was in this nice white jacket, and I put a bunch of oranges and apples, and then I put some red beets in the juicing machine. And at that point, there were a few holes that they had plugged in. They essentially destroyed the juicing machine, and red beets just went all over the place, over me. And they got it on camera, and they're hiding behind the corner, just laughing and everything. So I decided I had to get him back. And when we were in Alaska, I went and bought a polar bear costume from a mascot store. And I walked up on stage, and I walked up in a polar bear costume, and right in the middle of his song, I just gave him a big old bear hug, and everybody was laughing. And he was wondering, who in the world is this, and who has, say, the cojones to come up on stage in the middle of my show?
Oh, no.
That is too funny. That is too funny. Well, let's take a listen to another one of your songs, because we've got several that we want to get in. And this is a song called 3-2-1. And it's from the CD, started with a song. Is there anything you want to tell us about this?
This was a track that was never meant to make it to the radio. I think similar, maybe there's some stories that, Jennifer, you might read or you might write yourself that, you know, you think are more meant to be personal, but then they make it to the publication and it turns out to be a beautiful message, a beautiful story. This song is a story that was just meant for my wife and I. I just written it for her. Yet I played it for my record label and they loved it. And they said it needed to go on the record, and it became my first gold record. So I'm very proud that this song was never meant to be for anybody else, yet it became a very special track.
Oh. That's great. That's a great story. Well, let's listen to 3-2-1 by Brett Kissel, and we'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
you messes with my mind, and girl, I just go crazy till I get to see you again. Then it's 3, 2, 1, I'm counting down the hours till we're driving round town, parked by the water tower. Then it's 9, 10, 11, get a little time in heaven till we say goodnight, and I'm a mess until I see you again. Until I see you again. All my friends, they try to warn me, tell me I should take it slowly, 'cause they know the trouble I'm in. But loving you is like a drug, and girl, I just can't get enough until I get to see you again.
Well, we're on the air with Brett Kissel today, and another great song, and song that wasn't supposed to be. It was a song for his wife. And so tell us a little bit, Brett, about, it looks like you're a father of 2 daughters, and what was it like moving from a ranch in Canada all the way to Music City?
Well, it was an amazing experience for my wife and I, one that we'll never forget, one that I don't think we plan on doing again, but we poured into my manager's minivan, and we had a U-Haul trailer. We took everything that we had up in Canada. We sold our house outside of Edmonton, and we drove across the border. It took us about 4 days. You know, it's about 3,500 kilometers, and we get into Nashville to start our new life, and we're just hoping that, you know, we'd make it. You know, this is a big team effort, both my wife and I. And by the time I had arrived, over the course of the 4 days, I'd been in talks with the record label, Warner Music. And they finally said, you know what? Yeah, we've signed you. The paperwork is complete. We were driving. We're somewhere across Missouri. The minute we got to Nashville, they said, I need you on a plane. And they brought me back up to Canada, where I started a promo tour. During that promo tour, I was gone for 7 weeks. To which my wife had to unpack the van and the U-Haul trailer all by herself and set up in our new apartment in Nashville. And she's a champ. That's the type of woman she is. She is just the very best. She is so supportive and loving. But it's one thing that I may never live down. We moved to Nashville, and I wasn't even there to help with the move.
Did they ever get to go with you on the road, your daughters and your wife?
What's interesting is after that promo tour, after I was gone for, well, almost 8 weeks, we made a decision that ain't going to happen again. So my wife and my daughters weren't around yet, but my wife started to come to everything, and it was the most amazing thing we'd ever decided on. So she came to every show. Then we had our first daughter, Mila, who started to travel with us, you know, probably 85% of the time. Then our second daughter arrived, Aria, and it's a little more difficult to travel with two kids and a dog. So
right.
They travel probably about 60% of the time.
Okay, well, that's good.
So what kind of dog do you have, Brett?
He could be the world's best wiener dog, and we haven't put him out into the field yet to chase cattle, but I'm sure he'd do pretty good.
A little low rider.
Exactly.
How
what do you and your family like to do when you're not on the road?
Well, when we're when the family's not out on the road, I know that they're busy. You know, just chasing around the girls. It's really special when I do come home from the road and I get to see my family interacting and everything with our friends. We've got a great network of friends that live here in the condo. Actually, two of our really good friends are Mackenzie Porter and Jake Etheridge, who live right below us in the condo, and they're just amazing people. And it's just a really great. Great group, you know, that we've got of friends. So we're very, very lucky to have that network here.
Good.
Oh, that's great. That is great. What is the difference between the music business in Canada and the music business in Nashville, Tennessee?
You know what, Gary, I would, if you asked me this 10 years ago when I was kind of getting started, or if you ask some artists from different generations, they'd have something different to tell you. As far as I'm concerned right now, there's really not much of a difference. With the world being so accessible through social media, the border almost doesn't exist. We have some amazing music coming out of Canada and some amazing music coming out of the United States. So I believe that there's not much of a difference now other than maybe just some of the things or the topics we sing about. If I'm going to write a song about snow, well, it's because I'm Canadian and I know what it's all about. Whereas someone from Alabama or someone, you know, from Florida Georgia Line might not ever have that as part of their repertoire or one of their topics in any of their songs, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Yeah. I do know what you mean. But the Canadian music business, Canada kind of helps support artists a little bit more than they do in the United States, don't they?
Well, we have some amazing government programs. The government grants are very, very special to really keep to promote the way of life and the arts and culture, you know, that has put Canadian music on the map. We're very proud of our roots, and I'm very proud of some of the, well, like I said, you know, the programs that I've been able to access, and they really put you through the ringer to make sure that the music that you're putting together is either going to do well for the Canadian landscape, or it's, you know, it talks about the great topics that is Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I think it's a really special feature that we have as Canadians, that we're able to put some of those things into our music.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, have you ever been to the Calgary Stampede at all?
Oh, every year. I never miss it. I would go. I went there as a fan, watching the rodeo and the chuck wagons, and now that my career has kind of taken off to a degree, we're performing there every summer. Have you? I'm assuming you've
great.
Been up there. Hey, Jennifer?
I have, and yeah, it's the equivalent to our Cheyenne Frontier Days, our Pendleton. So, yeah, that's a great, great deal that you get to perform there, too.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. It's an amazing event. And you're right, similar to the great rodeos and the events across America, it's just filled with like-minded people. You know, if you're there for the Western culture, you're going to love it. If you're there for the country music, you're going to love it. If you're there for the party, and you don't plan on going to bed, well, you're going to love it because we've got that to offer too.
Something for everybody. Did you ever rodeo yourself? Or?
No, you know what? I never did. I wish I would have done it. I rode a steer once in a dare when I was a teenager, and I broke my wrist. The day before the gig, I was booked to play the rodeo dance, and I broke my wrist. And I thought to myself, you know what? Let's leave this to the athletes, and I should probably just stick to being on stage.
Singing about it.
My wife on the other hand, has a drawer full of buckles from you know, as a little kid, you know, doing a lot of the, you know, roping the wild pony racing, mutton busting as a little kid, and
right.
I think she barrel raced for a few years in her teens as well. So she's quite the athlete. And she's more of an outdoors girl than even I am. And, you know, we both grew up on ranches, and she's quite the athlete in that regard.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, I am excited to be able to introduce to the world some of your new music that's going to be released. And I think we're going to do We Were That Song right now. And
I watched the video for that this morning.
Yeah. Tell us about when are you releasing the album, and talk to us a little bit about the pre-sales of this right now.
Absolutely. The new record comes out on Friday, December the 8th, just in time for Christmas. And I'm really proud of the record. There is so much diversity on this project, because if you love traditional country music, you know what? We got a duet with Charlie Pride on this record. If you love rock and all the great things that come with that, well, from the heavy metal legendary band called Megadeth, one of my great friends in Nashville named Dave Mustaine plays guitar on one of the tracks. And then we've got this title track, We Were That Song, which is fun, bouncy. It's just a feel-good track that we've titled the record off of. So you'll get that one, as well as a track I wrote called Nights in the Sun, which is a legacy piece about the days gone by, if you pre-order the record right now on iTunes.
All right, so they can pre-order the record now, and I guess they can do that from your website, and that's brettkissel.com, I believe.
Absolutely, so check that out, and make sure you guys visit. You can stream it, you can get it on iTunes, and it's going to be in stores, you know, across North America, so please check it out and pick up a copy if you're able to, because there is something for everybody on this project.
All right, so we're going to listen to We Were That Song, and then we've got a couple more cuts from the new CD as well that we're going to get to before the show's over with. But let's take a listen to We Were That Song, Brett Kissel. We'll be back in just a moment.
We were the wild and the free and the wind. We were the backseat leaning in. We were the running wide open in the headlights, hearts on fire in the midnight. We were the slow and the dance in the dust, Jack and Diane with the radio up. We were living the line about loving and learning to fall and to fly in that summertime thing. We were the song on the radio playing. We were the words the singer was singing. Yeah, we were the oh, we were the hey that made you want to sing along. Yeah, we were rain. We were the lonesome like a train. We were the let go. We were the heartbroken. We didn't know that it would end this way. We were the almost, yeah, but not quite. We were the steel guitars to cry in the line about loving and leaving and lonely in the might have been, the might have been. We were the song on the radio playing. We were the words the singer was singing. Yeah, we were the oh, we were the hey that made you want to sing along. Yeah, we were that song, yeah. And it goes, oh, and it goes, oh. We were the hurted and I had to call. We were the feeling that you can't shake off. That I was a fool and you were the one. How did I ever let you get so gone? We were the song on the radio playing. We were the words the singer was singing. Yeah, we were the oh, we were the hey that made you want to sing along. Yeah, we were that song. We were the song on the radio.
That Song. It's from the CD soon to be released, December the 8th. We Were That Song. And I'm glad that our audience could not see me dance into that one, because I don't know whether I was moving. I was moving.
There's some opportunity for crowd involvement in that song, and I think that's pretty cool that you do that. And how do you get yourself geared up to get on stage, Brett?
Well, you know, it's always different depending on, I think, the atmosphere or the room. My band and I, we always go in a circle and we do a little 3-2-1. And if we're playing in Colorado, we'll go 3-2-1, it's Colorado, baby, woo! Or we'll go 3-2-1, it's the Calgary Stampede, baby, woo! And then we run out on stage and go act like a bunch of crazy people. But, you know, when you have music like the one you just played, We Were That Song, or, again, whether you're playing in a theater or an arena or a banquet for a gala dinner, we love to have fun, and that's why I'm really proud of the new record and proud that I get to get this introduction to, obviously, your listeners here on this station with this program.
Tell us a little bit about your band.
Well, I may be biased, but I think I've got the best band around. It starts with, if you're going to play country music, you got to have a fiddle in the band. Tyler Volrath is my fiddle player. He's won the North American Fiddle Championship, and he's got a mantle full of awards for his playing. And he's the kind of guy that certainly can play anything. I just look at him, he's ready to go. Matty McKay plays guitar in my band. He's also my cousin. Luckily, this year he won the Guitar Player of the Year for the first time. And it's been a long time coming. We're very proud of him at the Canadian Country Awards. On drums is Ben Bradley. Ben and his wife have a ranch out near Brooks, Alberta, just south of Calgary, where she's a trick rider. That's her her career. And they've got a beautiful little girl named Emily, and she's fantastic. And Ben is an amazing drummer as well. On bass guitar is Justin Cutting. Justin just had his first son. His name is Eli, and they live right in the city of Calgary, so he's no stranger to the Calgary Stampede. And rounding off the band is Connor Riddell, this new kid we discovered from Ottawa, Ontario, 21 years old, plays guitar like he's been playing guitar for 100 years, and he loves classic country music more than anybody. And it's so great having a guy at 21 playing Chet Atkins, playing Merle Haggard, playing Conway Twitty songs, and us in the band, we just love having him, and that rounds off our group. And it's more than a family than it is a band, let me tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, you
now,
have to work
all close. Are all of these guys from live in Canada, or have they moved to Nashville too?
Tyler lives in Nashville. He's a fiddle player. His wife, Becky, helps run our career. She's my assistant. She does all of our travel and logistics for the band. So she's fantastic. I have no idea how Tyler was able to get her. She's way too good for him. But he hasn't figured that out yet, I guess. But she's fantastic, and she's become an aunt to our daughters. And her and Cecilia, my wife, have become great friends. Tyler lives in Nashville, and we're trying to convince the rest of the band to move down here because we'd have nothing but fun if we all lived in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. That is great.
Well, they always say, like, a cowboy, it takes a good cowboy's created by having a good wife that has a job in town, but I think maybe a good wife makes a musician, a good wife who can manage her husband's music career.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? And Cecilia, my wife, has been my rock and continues to be on a regular basis. And she's the type of girl that I know. I mean, and in the early days, she was the one who was working in town while I was, you know, traveling across the country just trying to make a living playing music and just trying to get discovered. So it's really special that, you know, she knows every side of the business and has been there through the good days and been there through the bad days.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, since you mentioned your wife, I don't know whether this song was written about her or not. This next one is called Cecilia. And is that named after her?
It is, because every day of her life, people would see her and sing the Simon and Garfunkel song, Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. Just taking my confidence daily. And I always made a vow that I would write a Cecilia song for her. And maybe, just maybe, in a generation from now, people will say, hey, Cecilia, like the Brett Kissel song. And she'll say, yep, it was written for me.
Well, let's listen to Cecilia, and it's another cut from the CD, We Were That Song, and we'll be back to talk more with Brett and Jennifer in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Your goodbye kiss, I can't forget you. Let me steal it from your lips. Missing you is harder than it seems. I feel you in the summer wind, and when the sun sinks down again, every night you meet me in my dreams. My heart is falling, your green eyes are calling. So don't give up, hold on. You laugh the way you throw your hair back, spinning round in that cotton dress. So put our favorite record on, pretty soon I'll sing along. But darling, save a dance for me till then. So don't calling, so don't give up, hold on, I'm on my way.
Cecilia, that is a terrific song. I don't know whether you could feel me dancing out in Colorado or not, Jennifer.
You never know.
Gosh. Well, Brett, what was it like the first time that you stepped into that magic circle on the Grand Ole Opry stage?
You know what? It was an emotional experience. Ever since I was little, I've always wanted to play the Grand Ole Opry, and the Opry is the most sacred stage in all things country music. And I just looked down at my cowboy boots and I got goosebumps. And I got goosebumps thinking about it now because Johnny Cash stood there. Garth Brooks stood there. Brad Paisley stood there. Loretta Lynn, George Jones. All of my heroes, anyone who was anyone, stood there. And I don't know if I'm ever going to make it in this business. And at that moment, it didn't matter either because I had made it there. And I used that microphone, and I sang my heart out. And I'll tell you, Jennifer, and I'll tell you, Gary, and all your listeners, that was one of the best moments, not just of my career, but one of the best moments of my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you've been on there 7 times total, it looks like, most recently in October?
That's right, lucky number 7, and I hope that they'll get me back, and we'll get it to 10, we'll get it to 20, we'll get it to 100, you know? There's only been 2 members from Canada at the Grand Ole Opry inducted as members. The first was Hank Snow in sometime around 1955, and Terry Clark, the most recent. A lot of Canadians have played it. Only 2 have been members, and maybe, just maybe, I could be that third. You never know.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. Well, tell us a little bit about playing with Mr. Brooks.
Well, I'm not sure what you guys want to know, and I don't know what your listeners want to know, but I'll just start by saying he's just the nicest human being I've ever met, and I've learned what it takes to be an entertainer. And I'll say this, if I can be 1/100th or 1/1000th, hell, 1/1,000,000th of what Garth is, I think I'll be a happy man, because that guy was a game changer for our business and a game changer for my life.
Wow. Wow. Well, you had a good story I heard you tell the other night about a guitar. You want to share that with us?
For sure. You know what? He knocked on our dressing room door. My wife and I are there. We're holding our little girl. We didn't have our second daughter yet. We're just holding Mila, our first. Knock on the dressing room door. And it's Garth. And I'm thinking, I didn't think I'd even get a chance to meet him. You know, some artists you open for, you don't even interact, you know. But he walked in, made us all feel comfortable and welcome. And he said, you know, or I said, you know what, Mr. Brooks, anybody I've ever opened for, I've got them to sign a guitar for me. And I put it up in my studio. And I said, would you be able to sign this guitar? And he said, you know what, Brett, I'm just not able to do that. And I felt so bad, you guys. I thought I over-asked, and I was disappointed in myself. But he stopped me real quick, and he said, I won't sign that guitar, because I'll do you something different. How about I give you my guitar, and I sign that for
you? Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it. I looked at my wife, and it was the most amazing gesture. But he said, but Brett, if you're going to get a guitar from me, you need to come up on stage and use it. And I've seen online that you love to do Colin Baton Rouge in your live show. So what I'd like to do, Brett, is I'd like to call you up and, do you want to do Baton Rouge with me? And I freaked out, you guys. I mean, tears started rolling down my face, and I'm thinking, I get to sing with my hero. And I played Baton Rouge with Garth. It was the second song to close. And then I walked backstage, and in the backstage was a guitar in a case, and he autographed it for me. And he said, to Brett, God bless your family. I love you, man. Garth. And that is something that was one of my most prized possessions.
Wow. That's a great.
That is a cool
story. Now, who
story.
Would you?
One of these days, I'd love to show you that guitar. Maybe take a picture and send it to you, because it's amazing.
Is there anybody, Brett, that you would dream of traveling and touring with now?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as he's still, the legend he's always been, and he's got this amazing show in Las Vegas, George Strait, the king of country music, a great cowboy and a great gentleman. He's a guy I've met, but a guy I'd love to collaborate with in any way. Or, you know what, even if I was allowed, I'd just go on tour and sell the T-shirts, just so I could say I was on George Strait's tour.
Oh, gosh. Well, I expect that you will do more than that. I really do. But now you've got a show coming up in Nashville. Where will you be performing?
We're really excited. There's a great underground club called The Basement. And The Basement has seen everybody play there. And it is. It's underground. It's, it's intimate. It's maybe for 100 people. But we've started a bit of a residency there. We played there in October. We're playing there a few times in November. Our next show is on Monday. It's November the 27th, right after Thanksgiving. And we're very excited. We think it's going to be a packed place. And we're going to play new songs off the record. And maybe, just maybe, because there's only a few people, I might even put my credit card down and buy a cocktail or two if people are interested.
Oh, gosh. Well, if folks are listening, they need to head out Monday to The Basement and catch Brett in concert there. And that should be a lot of fun. And then hopefully his credit card might work. So that would be so cool.
Yeah.
But the CDs, the new CD is We Were That Song. And again, your website is what?
It's brettkissel.com. If you want to follow me there, or Instagram @BrettKissel, Twitter @BrettKissel, or obviously you can follow me on Facebook.
That's right. That is right. So you've got a great Facebook page. And pre-sales are available now, so you can go ahead and place your order for that, or it's available to the public beginning on December the 8th. And, Brett, you've just been so much fun to have on the show this morning. I appreciate you doing that. Not everybody would do a Thanksgiving Day show, so we really appreciate you, my friend.
Well, the pleasure's all mine, and you both are just great people, and I appreciated the opportunity to be on the air with you both and to get to know you a little bit, Jennifer, and you too, Gary. So thank you, guys. Thanks a million.
Well, enjoy your Thanksgiving with your family.
I will. We've got turkey in the oven. I'm going to pour myself a nice cocktail here and maybe get a little Thanksgiving buzz. I got nowhere to be except be with my friends and my family. So you can't talk me out of it. I'm going to go do it.
Well, enjoy your Thanksgiving, and we're going to close out this segment with another song from the CD, We Were That Song, and it's called Anthem, and by Brett Kissel. And we've been talking with Brett today on the Campfire Cafe. And thank you so much, Brett. We'll hopefully you'll come back and join us again sometime.
Well, I loved every minute of it. You just give me a call anytime, and you know what? Maybe we'll do a little feature. We'll talk about my ranch in Western Horseman. I think that'd be really cool for my family with all their subscriptions. And I did just subscribe, just so you know, online, so everybody can follow my lead and do the same.
Well, there you have it. Brett Kissel is a Western Horseman subscriber now.
All right. Well, let's listen to the song Anthem, and we'll be back in just a moment with Jennifer Dennison on the Campfire Cafe. Thanks a lot, Brett.
Thank you.
The rhythm of your heartbeat, lose myself tonight. Baby, you bring me to my feet the minute you walk by. With your red lips, white teeth, shaking them hips and skinny blue jeans. Can't help but hum along, your freedom gets me high. And we can dance like no one else is watching. Take my hand and put it on your heart. Sing out loud, cause no one gets me wrong. Fireworks lighting up your eyes. I wanna know your melody and get it memorized. You're my chorus, you're my verse, pledge allegiance every word. Turn it up and turn me on, now baby don't be shy. And we can dance like no one else is watching. Take my hand and put it on your heart. Sing out loud, cause no one gets me rocking like you.
You're my head.
not enough energy in that young man, Jennifer.
I know. I'm sure his concerts are pretty high energy and a lot of fun.
I would expect they are. And again, he's playing here at the Basement this Monday. So be sure and check him out there. Check his website out, brettkissel.com, and pre-order the great CD, We Were That Song. But a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you're decorating today and then going out to a spa for the weekend? Yeah.
To the hot springs. So, yeah, it'll be a great time. Nice little break.
That'd be so cool. And Thanksgiving is a special time of the year where families get together, and so we know that you folks are going to be enjoying listening to the show as you're traveling, or anytime during the weekend you can go back and listen to this as well. But just a lot of fun. Next week, we've got the Hot Texas Swing Band joining us, and they have a new CD out, so we're going to be playing music from that next week, and then we're traveling back to Canada the following week. We have Twin Kennedy that's joining us, and we'll start doing Christmas music in December. So a great lineup of guests we've got coming up through the rest of the year, and we want to encourage you to join us for the Campfire Cafe starting at noon Central Time on Equestrian Legacy Radio. So Jennifer, anything you'd like to leave us with?
Well, just have a great Thanksgiving, and don't forget the reason for this season. We all tend to get a little bit stressed out and hustle and bustle, and you know what? It's okay if it's not perfect. It's, you know, it's all about being together.
That's exactly right. I think the time that we spend together is what makes the memories and makes the season what it is. So have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll be back next week on the Campfire Cafe or around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close the show out today with a great Christmas song from Mary Kay. It's a song called It All Began at a Barn. Thanks for listening.
This old barn is a special place to me. This old barn and a happy story. When life is more than I can bear, just like a child you will find me there. It's a cold and clear December. The stars above, the only light, shine on this spot of rough hewn pine, turning something simple into something divine. Why did God in His glory choose to start His son's story in a stable with a manger of hay? He could have saved all the hassle and crafted a castle for the Christ child on that first Christmas day. But I think I understand why it all began in a snow lay silent on the ground. My footsteps are the only sound. The world will turn again tonight. tonight, but for now I'll keep this silent night. This old barn where I have worked and played, in hard times I have even prayed. Who knew that such a humble place is where God would send his amazing grace? Why did God in his glory choose to start his son's story in a stable with a manger of hay? He could have saved all the hassle and crafted a castle for the Christ child on that first Christmas day. But I think I understand why it all began in a barn. A place that's warm, a place that's safe, far away from the human race. Yes, I think I understand why it all began.